Hey everybody, I'm Bob Smithhauser. Welcome to the official Plugged In podcast. Ticket sales went up, up, and away over the weekend as Zack Snyder's Superman reboot Man of Steel grossed more than $113 million in theaters.
Of course, the property damage to Metropolis was somewhere in the neighborhood of $113 billion.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Definitely a different feel at times from the old Christopher Reeve movies.
Okay.
Bob Hoos is here to explain why, to talk about the film's spirituality, and a lot more. Good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Anyone familiar with Superman knows he was an orphan from another world adopted by loving parents. We're big on adoption around here. So is Leanne Toohey, who wants to see every child in foster care get a forever family. You know Leanne from the movie The Blind Side. We talked with her about that film, what she was doing on the field at this year's Super Bowl, and her brand new reality series, Family Edition, which coaches new parents through the adoption process. Our sponsor this week is Everyday Relationships, a daily, hour-long call-in program hosted by Focus on the Family psychologist Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson. If you have tough questions, they've got real answers. Learn where you can tune in at everydayrelationships.com.
I have to believe that you were sent here for a reason. And even if it takes the rest of your life, you owe it to yourself to find out what that reason is.
That's Kevin Costner as Jonathan Kent in Man of Steel. It's rated PG-13. Bob, as comic book origin stories go, and this one does take us all the way back to the beginning, Give us the highlights again of Superman's story and explain how these filmmakers chose to build on that.
Sure. The Superman origin story is pretty well known by just about everyone, and Man of Steel sticks to the script for the most part. It's still the story of this young boy who is born on Krypton, and then because the planet's about to explode, his parents send him off to another world, Earth, that has this yellow sun. He's adopted by a Kansas farm couple, and then because of the sun, basically grows into this super powerful, all-powerful superhero. And the movie, in this case, though, the variation is that Man of Steel spends actually a lot more time on Krypton than some of the other movies, like the Christopher Reeve tales.
Yeah, close to the first half hour of the movie.
Yeah, they show us a lot of the history, why the planet's going to explode, why Kal-El's parents do the things that they do, make the choices they make. And we also meet General Zod, who ends up ultimately being the story's villain. And he is genetically engineered to protect the Kryptonian people. So after Kal-El is on Earth, who is also Clark Kent, who is also Superman, after he grows into a young man, General Zod shows up. And he wants Clark and this other little thing that his dad put in the space capsule called a codex, sort of like a genetic code for the Kryptonian race. And he wants to reboot the Kryptonian civilization, and he needs Clark and this codex to do it.
And of course, to reboot the Kryptonians on Earth means that's not very good for the Earthlings, right?
Which means the Earthlings are going to be going
one
away, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, before we go any further, we're going to do something, Bob, a little bit different today. Rather than just review the film, I have quotes from a few mainstream critics.
Okay.
And one at a time, I'll share them with you, and then you tell us whether you
agree or disagree.
All right, the first one's from Peter Howell of the Toronto Star. The casting is impeccable, beginning with Henry Cavill as an uncommonly brooding but refreshingly deep Superman. Agree or disagree?
Agree. I thought Henry Cavill, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I thought he was, a lot of people won't recognize him, but I thought he was an excellent Superman. And the real refreshing part, I think, is that they take the time to show him growing from a young boy into young man, where Henry plays him, and he is brooding might be a little heavy. He's a guy who's really trying to find his place in the world, and I think in a way a lot of teens are going to identify with that. Well, a lot of everybody will identify with the idea of where is my place in the world, what is my role, what can I do, and especially when you're a super strong guy like him, it's a little tough. And I think the actor carries it really well. So in the end, you've got all this feeling, but at the same time, you really like the guy.
All right, next, Pete Hammond of Movie Line. He wrote, "The attempt to do something different and a bit darker is admirable, but this Superman doesn't fly. It just assaults the senses. Where's the fun?" Agree or disagree?
That was a tough one because I sort of agree and disagree. I mean, okay. I understand where he's coming from. Yes, this particular version, as compared to like the Christopher Reeves version back in 1978 of that first Superman movie, it doesn't play with the Clark Kent character, making him a little goofy. It doesn't have that interaction between him and Lois Lane. But there's still, I think, interesting and fun and definitely compelling things about this story. The director, Zack Snyder, said that this is one of the most realistic films he's ever made. And I think that really does change the feel of the film, gives it a little bit more serious texture.
Well, one of the producers is Christopher Nolan, who, of course, yeah, rebooted the Batman series, and that was darker as well.
Right.
Okay, last one. Here's a comment from Joe Gross of the Austin American-Statesman. "As enjoyable as the action is, the final battle between Zod and Superman is city-smashing disaster porn that makes the final scene in Avengers look like a model of tasteful restraint." Agree or disagree?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with that one. Not the idea, because he's right. By the time we get down to the last third of the movie, there's more whiz-bang and city destruction here than there ever was in the Avengers movie.
I read someone else said it's like a month of 9/11s back to back.
Yeah, right. But to call it disaster porn, I think that's stretching it a little too far. I think the film balances out a lot of that really explosive disaster with heroism and some very positive elements that I think counterbalance that.
Okay, while we're on the subject of violence and destruction, let's talk about content that should give parents pause, especially if they have younger children.
Well, that is the main content issue there. There is a little bit of language, but it's relatively mild, especially when you consider PG-13s. But when you get to the point of having human bombers coming in and bombing the city, and you've got spacecrafts hitting and destroying everything with laser rays, and you've got these supers smashing each other through city blocks worth of concrete and steel. There's a lot of destruction. Everything is turned to dust, and you've got thousands of people. I mean, if you think about it, there's probably thousands of people that are collateral damage,
Though
the movie doesn't show
it. Well, traditionally, Superman's story has had spiritual overtones. He's been sort of a Christ figure. Do we get that here as well?
Yes. In fact, I think the two real positive areas of the film that sort of counterbalance those negatives are the spirituality. Superman has always had this sort of connection to being a Christ-like figure. In fact, Zack Snyder, the director, even came right out in an interview and said, he's a Christ-like figure. There's no two ways about it. And within the film, they show all those many parallels that people have discussed, you know, this son being sent to a planet to save humanity, and there are parallels in this story where Superman has to really take the battle to this Satan-like character in the form of General Zod and best him for all of mankind. And the second area that I think the movie sort of pulls out the stops in a good way is when it comes to family dynamics. I mean, the film takes pains to show us Martha and Jonathan raising their young son. And through all his troubles with gaining superpowers and things, we see just the down-to-earth mom and dad raising a boy who eventually becomes a man and becomes a good man because of their parenting.
And that the choices he makes when he's young is going to impact the character.
And we see that over and over again, but where he is others-centric, where, you know, he'll take a time out of a battle to go save somebody quickly and then go back to fight the bad guys.
All right. Thanks, Bob. You know, when we think of cinematic adoption stories, another one stands out, and that's from the top-grossing sports movie of all time, 2009's The Blind Side. That true story earned Sandra Bullock an Oscar for her portrayal of Leanne Toohey, whose family took in a homeless teen.
Who just happened to turn out to be a pretty good football player.
Yeah, that young man's name is Michael Orr. He was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens and, as of a few months ago, is a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Well, now Leanne is the host and producer of Family Edition, a weekly reality series that supports couples as they adopt children out of foster care. We connected by phone recently, and here's how that conversation got rolling. Leanne, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, I'm guessing most of our listeners have seen The Blind Side and may think that they know you. Maybe I should start by asking how closely the real Leanne Toohey resembles the one we've seen in the movie.
You know, interestingly enough, I tell people all the time, I told Sandra Bullock when my three kids saw the movie, they walked out and they were looking at each other, shaking their heads, and they said, oh my gosh, there's two of them running around. And so I said, you will never receive a greater accolade than that, that my kids, you know, said that about you. So, you know, she shadowed, she hung around. They hung around John Lee Hancock, who was the writer and director, for almost 2 years. They were at several of our Thanksgivings, several of our Christmases, Michael's games, SJ's games, Kyle's events. They really knew the pulse of our family. So, you know, we were, for Hollywood not to screw something up, it's really nothing short of a miracle. And we were very humbled by what a great job that they did with the movie. So it's very accurate. You know, there are things that are inaccurate. They have nothing to do with the message or the platform or the movie. The movie showed Michael a little sketchy with football. You know, he gets so mad. He goes, you know, I was never that bad. John Lee Hancock really wanted people to see what a vast amount of space that Michael Orr covered in a short amount of time. He used the analogy of football to do that. And because Michael did. I mean, it's amazing what he took in over a several-year period. And, you know, but that doesn't have anything to do with the message of the movie. But for the most part, it was very, very accurate. And so for that, we're forever grateful to, you know, the people that worked on the movie.
What's it like to have a major Hollywood star win an Oscar for playing you? That has to be pretty surreal.
It is. It's crazy. It still continues to be crazy. She is an amazing lady. We have a very private, personal relationship. We stay in touch. Just was with her a week ago. Going to be with her again next week. It's been a wonderful, very God-driven relationship. And the Lord has used this movie in mighty ways. He uses simple people to tell a story.
Well, for those who haven't seen The Blind Side, I think there may be two or three people out there like that. It's the true story of how your heart went out to a young man in difficult circumstances, and your family ended up adopting him. Now you have a reality series called Family Edition on Up. How is this show a natural extension, maybe of your experience with Michael, of your heart for adoption? Why'd you do it?
We really believe through our journey with Michael that there are no unwanted kids. There's just unfound families. Mm. And let me tell you, folks, I tell people day in and day out, the least part of parenting is genetics. It really is. That's the least of it, because it comes from after the day that the kid is born. Honest to goodness, Michael Orr is probably more like me than my two biological kids, because he was around me for so long. And you know, he folds clothes like I do. He cleans like I do. My two biological kids, I'm a neat freak. Michael's a neat freak. My two biological kids are messy. They're just like their dad. And it's just amazing. It's about environment. And the shame of it, and we ought not to be able to look at ourselves in the mirror in the morning, because there are 30,000 kids every single year that age out of foster care in this country, and they never have a forever family. It's not about writing this huge check. It's about opening your home and your heart to amazing kids that just want to be loved. That is what Family Edition hopes. That is what Up hopes, is that people will step up, step out of their comfort zone, and we make sure that the Michael Orrs of the world stop slipping through the cracks, and that they are valuable, contributing members of society. And all we need to do is offer them hope and love and opportunity, and they too can, you know, have a life-changing experience.
Well, you are a persistent woman, and we see that on the show and how you step into the gap for these families, kind of keep the process moving. Have you found that producing a reality series has gotten you more cooperation from a system that can move pretty slowly at times?
It has. It's amazing when you have a microphone and a camera what people do. You know, and sometimes you just have to be a little forceful, because people don't like change, especially our government. You know, they don't like to be told what to do. They don't like to say, well, maybe that's a better way. The foster care and adoption system is pretty flawed in this country. Yeah, sometimes I have to use a little adult strength, but, you know, it seems to work. And, you know, week in and week out, we highlight those issues. We give you a roadmap to follow. People will look at it and go, I'm having that same trouble. What's that family doing? And, you know, each week it's Team Tui. It's a group effort. It's my daughter, Collins. It's Miss Sue Mitchell, who was Michael's tutor in the movie, played by Kathy Bates. We do a room makeover. It's something different each and every week. It's not always the same thing, because each family's story is unique and different. And just like every birthing experience is unique and different. You know, we think every adoption story is unique and different in its own. So we do something every week to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing and to leave a footprint of where we've been. So tune in on Friday nights. Our premiere was June 7th. This Friday night's a great story. Each week, I think the families get greater as we go along, but there are families that are making a difference, and we hope that you will watch what they're doing and figure out how you can play. You may not can adopt, or you may not can take a foster care child into your home, but you can help the people that are doing. You can walk shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, and make a difference with these families that are going through the process, and we show you that each week as well.
Oh, that's great. Before we let you go, Leanne, one more question about the Tuohy family. It must have been special to share Michael's Super Bowl experience and all that that event has become. Is there a highlight or a memory that stands out that you could share with our listeners?
I think the highlight of it was when I hit the field after the game, and I just looked at him. And of course, I was sobbing, you know, but I cry each and every, in the NFL, 1 week they announce offense, 1 week defense at the home games. And we just finished year four in the league. We got all the games. And each week when he's in Baltimore and they introduce offense, I cry when he comes out. And my husband looks at me, first game this year, season four, and he goes, it's season four. You're still not going to cry every time he runs through the smoke. I mean, come on. And I do, because every time Michael runs through the smoke, it represents hope to me. It represents that he made it and that he never gave up and that he worked through all the obstacles. And we're still 11 years later working through obstacles. To me, in my mind, he's like an 11-year-old, even though he's, you know, 27. But it just represents that if you turn around, you can make a difference. And when I, you know, we just won, it was a close game, you know, we credentials, we get on the field, and, you know, he's surrounded by, you know, photographers, and then the picture went viral. I mean, but I looked at him, and it was almost like something you see, cliche out of a movie. I ran up, and I hugged him, and I was just sobbing, and he was going, we made it, Mom, and we did. And we made it. And to see your child live a dream out is very life-changing. And he did make it, and he worked hard. But there are other Michael Orrs that so deserve a chance. And so, you know, getting out of our comfort zone, doing Family Edition week in and week out, offers kids a chance, because it makes people aware that there are valuable kids that just need an, you know, opportunity.
Even if you've never seen The Blind Side, the emotion in Leanne's voice tells the story, doesn't it? As you can imagine, adoption is an issue very close to our hearts here at Focus on the Family. And we have a ministry dedicated to helping kids find warm, loving homes. It's called Wait No More. In fact, nearly 2,000 families have begun the process of adoption from foster care through the efforts of Wait No More. You can learn more about that at FocusOnTheFamily.com. Now let's find out what's on your mind.
Stand by. Mail loading.
I love it when people comment on the interviews that we share. This one comes from Greg in Houston. Now, the reason we're not mentioning Greg's full name is the sensitive nature of his comments.
Right.
And Bob, you know, I think our listeners are going to understand once you've read them.
Sure. This came in response to our chat with Ron Deal and Tammy Daughtry. And they talked about media boundaries and the challenges facing divorced parents. Greg writes, podcast number 205 was extremely timely and poignant for me. I'm struggling to co-parent with an ex who has suddenly, apparently, lost most of her concern about what our two children see or listen to. On Friday, I was put in the position of having to make a decision about a movie my 13-year-old son's friends wanted him to go to. No doubt without researching it, my ex had already given it a green light and set me up as the bad guy. However, thanks to some advice from your podcast, I had a very positive experience and conversation with my son. It left me feeling very successful.
Oh, that's good to hear. Greg, thanks for taking a minute to share your story.
Yeah, without question. I mean, it's one thing to assume that people are being touched by this program, but unless we hear back, we never know for sure. So that means a lot to us, Greg.
It sure does. In fact, it means so much that we like to reward listeners whose comments and questions make it onto the podcast. Greg, we have a special gift for you. The latest film by Michael Landon Jr. is called The Confession. It's a drama based on a story by best-selling author Beverly Lewis. Well, in addition to sending you the DVD, we managed to get a copy of the script personally signed by a dozen or so cast members, plus Beverly Lewis herself. We hope you enjoy that. And thanks to Sony Pictures for that fun piece of memorabilia. Friends, if you have something to share with us, please take a minute to drop us an email. If we read from it on the show, you never know what surprise might be headed your way. It's easy to do. Just visit PluggedIn.com, click Contact Us, and tell us what's on your mind as it relates to entertainment, pop culture, or maybe something you heard right here. A couple things. Be sure to put podcast in the subject line and include your full name and mailing address.
So the post office can find you.
Yeah, you'd think these days they wouldn't need a street address, but they're funny that way. Hoos, thanks for being so Superman.
My pleasure.
As we wrap things up, we also need to thank our engineer, Dave Salkeld, and our special guest, Leanne Tui, whose new reality series, Family Edition, airs Friday nights on Up, which is the uplifting network formerly known as GMC. By the way, if you're a fan of inspirational television in general, Paul Lacy addressed that topic this week in his Tuesday blog. You may want to weigh in on that discussion when you visit PluggedIn.com. Finally, what's new in the world of Christian music? The latest release from Tim Timmons arrived earlier this month. Tim is an LA-based worship leader and father of four who's been battling an incurable form of cancer. I mention that for two reasons. First, that you'd pray for Tim and his family. And second, we'll be hearing a clip from the album's title track, Cast My Cares, which is all the more powerful when you realize that Tim wrote and recorded it in the midst of this trial. I hope you have a blessed week. Next time, we'll explore Brad Pitt's much-anticipated zombie flick World War Z, as well as the Disney Pixar sequel Monsters University. Because it's not just entertainment.
The official Plugged In podcast is a production of PluggedIn.com and Focus on the Family.
You're my hope.